On this week's show, a Pause for the Cause episode on Get Construction Talking with Sasha Reed from Procore.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're back. Our second ever Pause for the Cause episode, and it really couldn't be with anybody better than Sasha Reed. Oh, it's so great to have you.
It's so good to be here. I'm so excited that this is the second Pause for the Cause. Thank you, Jeff, for doing this in industry. We need it. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome. I'm excited. Let's get talking because we're here to get construction talking.
Exactly.
I am so excited about this partnership. It's a partnership between Procore and the B1M and our good friend Fred Mills and all the great work that's gone on, I would say, on people somewhat in pockets of the industry. But, you know, this is TUI and Fred and Procore and the B1M taking this to center stage and having the guts to talk about it. So talk to me a little bit more. Introduce people to what it is and we'll just get talking.
Yeah, I'll start off with the website because if you're like me, you listen, watch, and search in Google. So it's getconstructiontalking.org. This is an initiative that we're really looking at leveraging the reach of the B1M team and Procore, both who have some massive reaches within industry, to come together and raise awareness around mental health and construction. But really the call to action is very two simple things. Just start checking in on those around you, being accessible to just say, hey, I'm just checking in. How are you today? And then maybe a second follow-up of, no, I'm really curious. I'm asking for real. How are you? Even just that. And then the second one is, because this isn't just a US initiative, or this isn't just a challenge in the UK or in Australia, New Zealand, this is a global challenge. We really want to help raise funds for the nonprofit charities that are doing the lion and share work of creating the resources, the networks, the system, the research, toolbox talks, and all of that good stuff that leaders are going to need to put in the hands of their safety managers and into their project leaders to make them, deputize them to be initiators of the conversation. So the goal is that within the year, the campaign launched in July in London. And so the goal is within a year to raise $1 million for charities in the US, UK, New Zealand, and Australia.
Wow. Truly global. So you hit on the two prongs of it. I want to take a quick step back into the first one and the simple start checking in. A lot of us say, hey, how you doing? And we expect a pretty quick response. We're not looking for a real response, right? I think it's become part of our, I don't want to call it niceties. It's something we glance over and it's underestimated the power of pausing for a second and really asking the question sincerely and not assuming the answer back. And not portraying the answer back. I think one of the betrayals of people that they don't know is when they ask that question or are asked that question, they're betraying that they really don't want the answer, right? I said that because we had to start our day somehow, and that's how I'm going to start our day. I'm expecting you to answer, oh, I'm good, but the weather, you know, and it's like, oh, great. We're going to have another weather conversation to get this started. So talk to me a little bit about really opening up and what that means to pause for that second and ask those questions for real. Why is that important? And maybe is there ways for folks to do it?
I think the fact that Fred personally brought this to Procore as something that was very integrated into his personal mantra or goals for this year, it's definitely kind of framed this message as, this is something that has a global impact in the industry, but it is only, we can only move the needle if we approach this as an individual conversation. I don't know if, I do know you were there because you were in the same audience I was in and you were texting me. But last year at Groundbreak, Fred was brave enough to share some of his struggles that he was having with depression. And you could have heard a pin drop in the audience, and it was nearly 4,000 people in that room. My phone was blowing up because you were texting me, others were texting me. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's standing up, having this conversation, saying this out loud. How impactful. I was crying. I know others around me were crying simply because it was the power of a single person's story of their courage to break their own silence and say, I am struggling. I have found a path for asking for help and getting help. I know I'm not alone. I'm creating a safe space for you to be brave yourself as well. And so when kind of Fred approached us about this, he was very clear on his intention about this not being overcomplicated, over-narrated, or over-scripted, but that really at the heart of this is building this into everyone's everyday awareness so you become a little more tuned in when someone's disengaged, when someone's argumentative, when someone's dropping the ball or deadlines are going long, when tools are being traded in and sold. There's things you can look for and you can look at as indicators that somebody may need a check-in. And that, if that's what is accomplished, I think we will be moving the needle because it's just that single individual person saying, I'm noticing something here and I just want to check in with you. And really being consciously aware of you're creating space with that pause or the second just, hey, no, seriously, how are you? That creates an immediate sense of a safe space for someone to, with what they're wrestling with, if they've been wrestling with being courageous around, I'm struggling. You've just given them a moment to have a different answer.
Yeah, that pause and listening. And then a lot of times you won't get that answer right away. You'll get the, we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, that the people you know, and even just the ones you're working around, you know when they're offering you the thread of a sweater to pull on. And yeah, it's taking a second to pull on that thread a little bit and focus and say, no, I'm here. And you don't, I'm not going to have the answers for you, but I'm an ear. And there's so many statistics around how that pause and that moment of connection can help people in a situation that could be way more dire. It also could be less than dire, but more than nothing, mm-hmm, right? How many times is what goes on at our houses or what goes on in our lives impacts us on our jobs? And we came from an environment, and especially in construction, I mean, I think it's amplified there that it's like, leave your life behind and get your job done on this job site. And that's just not the case, right? We're not capable of doing that as humans, right? If you can truly compartmentalize at that level, you probably need a little bit more than this show is going to cover. But so it's going to impact you. It's going to impact the group. And it's just a few minutes. It's just a good conversation. It's just an ask away from, you know, hey, yeah, you know, I've been having a real tough time. I'm on this job, you know, we're in Atlanta and my family's in Florida and, you know, my spouse is really struggling because my kiddo is going through this problem. And I'm really feeling the strain of that.
Yeah.
And on the other end, just here being hurt, that person just dumped a little bit of that out. It's like, oh, and you're like, yeah, that's hard. I get it. Hey, do you need some more time to check in? Like, hey, let's make sure you get that time. You may not have an answer, right? You don't have to have an answer. You have to have a set of years.
Yeah.
And those are the types of conversations that, you know, get construction talking can really open us up to be brave enough to have, to care enough about the people on our job sites. But also, it's really funny. This is one of the few times where I'm always like, we got to talk job site. We got to talk job site. But I was opened up by, you know, sitting down with, at that same event with the Construction Brothers, and talks with them since about some of the stresses that people like detailers and BIM and VDC folks go through, and people in the office go through, that are in just as dire straits, as in just as much need, and sometimes even more stress, as much stress, right? That's not some, thing to level out, right? And to like, my stress is bigger than your stress. Like,
yeah, it's not a competition, but the contextual factors shift and change. So there's no competition around who's more at risk or who's under more pressure or more strain. The factors just are different. In the field, you're dealing with a lot of physical factors: heat, hunger, fatigue, recovery, lack of recovery, self-medicating, real pain and medicating. So you're dealing with all of these factors that create the context or a perfect storm for someone to be in an environment that is additionally challenging. But then you take that to the office, or even those in the technology space, where the consulting space serving this industry at large, where the pressures may be different, the contextual pressures may be different, but a lot of the same conditions are there, which is performance above everything. Clear two metrics were measured against: on time, on budget. Similarly, in other, are you completing those projects? Are you generating revenue? Are you making sure you're managing your budget well? But the piece that I see is similar between each of these is, where in those environments are there safe spaces for you to say, I'm really struggling? And that's what's at the heart of this is, in a performative environment, there isn't a real safe space to say, hey, I'd like to open up a little bit here because I'm slipping. I'm really underwater. It's almost the last thing instinctually you want to do. But I think that's what the beauty of the simplicity of the campaign is. Let's just start creating moments of conversation where someone could say, I'm really struggling.
Yeah. And I know folks listening, I hope, or at least they share it with somebody who's had this experience where you even tighten up and don't want to ask that question because you're worried about the performance and you're worried about the measurement and those things. But this is where it gets counterintuitive, right? Actually taking the pause, taking a minute, and my planning folks out there will understand this, taking a minute to focus on the problem and the person in front of you is actually the best way to overcome some of the issues, right? It's always been about transparency and get it on the table and care. And that's actually going to strengthen the team. And at the core, a strong, trusting, supportive team outperforms the 10 best, highly ranked people in their particular discipline every time, right? The people who care about their mates, about their coworkers, about their people, and get them to open up, that creates bonds of trust. It creates an environment in which people can reach their potentials and overcome the hurdles they didn't know were even there. We got to make business sense on certain things, right? And this not only makes the most incredible people sense, it makes really good business sense, right? The future of this is caring about our people, and we do. This industry, we know the suicide and we know the statistics. If you don't know the statistics, you can go check out getconstructiontalking.org or go to other folks' places, you know, a quick search will tell you, you know, we're the second highest rate of any industry. And that's not a US problem. It's a global issue.
Yeah. You know, the Construction Industry Alliance for Suicide Prevention, or CIASP, in the US is a great place. Lighthouse in the UK. There's Mates in Mind across the industry. So there's other organizations you can look up and reach out to just to get yourself acquainted with the data. We've actually, the UK and the US have moved into number one in the last 2 years in rates of suicide of any industry. And there's lots of factors. There's really no kind of simple silver bullet here. This is complex. It's a high stress industry. Many of us are attracted to construction because it's a type A person's dream. You've got lots of chaos. You've got lots of inputs, but at the end of the day, it's you win based on moving forward by getting through anything, by demonstrating grit. So personality wise, a lot of us that are attracted to the industry are already skewed in a personality type that can put ourselves red line for a long time and not even bat an eye. So there's a lot of factors, a lot of data around it. But I think the thing that's, I always come back to Fred's message here and what Fred's intention was, is no one needs to be a mental health professional in this equation of Get Construction Talking. That's the big reason of why Fred wants to raise money for the nonprofits, is to inject them with capital so that they can do more to provide toolbox talks, tools, supporting hotlines, and those sorts of things that do come from mental health professionals who are equipped to have those conversations. Really putting in our kind of sphere of influence is just being aware that this is a space you can create regardless of what your rank is, regardless of what your title or position is. This is something that deputizes everyone to say, your question could be a difference between somebody being here tomorrow and not. And it doesn't require you to be the expert. It requires you to be aware and to care and to lead in creating a space for the conversation.
Yeah, that's very powerful. That's what we need. And that's why I like this two-prong approach, right? That we're not trying to educate everyone through Get Construction Talking to be a mental health professional. That's not what we're asking of anybody listening. Now, if you want to make sure that you go and give money so that those professionals can have a much larger reach, which we could go into a whole conversation about, you know, who should have a bake sale to raise money and who should be getting the money to do these kinds of things. But that's another, that's another conversation. But, you know, those folks that specialize in the area need an investment in capital. We need more resources to professionalize. But if we wait around for that, then there's a lot of collateral damage between now and then. And the idea here is have a conversation with the folks around you. Be aware of what's going on around you. And look, sometimes things change and it's nothing. And sometimes it's something. And you're right. It could be the difference between somebody showing up. Each time you and I have been in a situation where we've had these kinds of conversations together out in public, we always get somebody who pulls us aside and tells us a story as to whether they were that person that was on the outskirts and possibly contemplating going home and never coming back versus they were the one who asked the question or saw the strange behavior and reached out. And those are hugely impactful. Those are the things that no amount of money into mental health resources and great professionals is going to do, right? We're not going to have a one-for-one mental health professional for every person that's out there. I wish in some respects we had those kinds of access, but we don't. And so that's why, you know, raising money on the other side is so important. And why would this, I mean, you kind of touched on this, but why would this be so important to, you know, TUI and Procor? I mean, what's in it, you know, why?
It's another great question. And I think TUI's been really proactive and front and center in supporting this conversation. I mentioned the launch event in July in London. TUI and Fred, TUI Cordemarch, our CEO, and Fred Mills together on stage introduced a two-part documentary series and then followed up by a panel discussion with Fred and one of the other gentlemen featured in the documentary, and then another industry representative. TUI has always said that his passion is really construction. He worked in industry early on in his career as a young man. Everything that he has centered Procore around is 100% built on his belief in construction's ability to win, to thrive. And he's really built his, at least the last 21, 22 years that Procore has been in existence, everything in his ethos around being one of the biggest supporters of this industry to really be a top performing industry. And so I think from that perspective, this matters. And TUI recognizes the global relevancy of this conversation for business leaders across the globe. He's also been really great about saying, I don't really know what's the first thing to do here. So what is it I should be doing? And it's been great to listen in the conversations. Actually, we recorded the launch event. So I encourage you to go to the getconstructiontalking.org website and watch the launch event. He has been really great about saying, you know, what should I be doing? What could I do? What can other leaders who are in my position do? And really pulling together that persona, if you will, of that executive leader who has a million things on their plates, a million things clamoring for their attention, time, and mental bandwidth. And TUI has stepped forward to say, this thing gets my mental bandwidth, it gets my support, and it gets my participation at a very vulnerable level as a leader to say, I'm not sure what I should be doing here. Help me understand this. And so I think because of TUI's finger on the pulse and his personal passion around construction, it aligns with his ethos. I will say the vision and the mission of Procore as a company, that idea, the vision of improving the lives of everyone in construction and connect, and then the mission of connecting all stakeholders on a global platform. It's kind of an extension of that vision and mission. It's looking beyond the technology, the product, the services that Procore delivers, and recognizing holistically, we're not going to reach that vision if we don't step outside our lane a little bit in terms of thinking beyond our product to either lead the way, leverage our platform and our reach to host a global conversation that takes something that is currently siloed in regional places and really makes it a call to action for leaders who run and manage these massive businesses and who have the ability to influence the culture and how that company shows up and how it treats its people and labor.
I think you hit on a couple of really good ones there that have been apparent to me. In fact, so much so that I called him TUI and didn't even introduce who he was. I've had the opportunity to know him over the years. And I think you're right. I saw this come out and I was like, this fits exactly with the ethos of not, and this is what I think at Procore and TUI in particular has been really good about leading without knowing, right? And not needing to necessarily know, like, I don't have this thing figured out. I just know it to lead. I've got to lean into it. I've got to support it. And I think in all the years that I've talked to him and others, it's about legacy as well in this industry, right? None of us want, not none of us. I can't speak for everybody, but I will say that at least it feels to me as though TUI, in leaving a legacy, wants to leave a legacy that you can look back on, that he didn't just sell a platform to a bunch of people, that he helped an entire industry go through its natural, transformation into its next evolution. And it became an industry that reached its potential. We've said this over and over that construction is foundational to our society and to the planet, right? We are the human species we are because of our ability to construct things and change the environment around us. So at our core, this is one of the most powerful things for that. So we shape the spaces, we shape the experiences, we shape the natural resources that people need to live and breathe and do the other things they love to do. But we haven't always looked at that group and given them the respect and the services and the things that they need and risen them to the level that they should be risen to. I think that was something, you know, early on when I found construction that drew me in. It's like, these are the most incredible craftspeople in the world. And I've said this a couple times recently, like, how many times do we just walk by things and we take it for granted? You know, you take a new airport for granted and you're like, no, wait, like, people, blood, sweat, and tears for so much time to make those things possible, right? Just a roadway. You know, it's funny. I stopped my son a couple of times and, you know, he'd say, oh, they fixed this and they did that. And I was like, they are people.
Yeah.
And they fix everything around you, right? Like, start to notice this. I didn't notice it as a kid. You know, I'm one of the few that doesn't come from the background of construction. So I think legacy is super important, and that we can all, as we're servicing this industry, look back and say, like, we had a part in elevating the industry to its rightful place, right? People should, and hadn't in the past, I don't think, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a plumber. I'm a pipe fitter. You know, I think in certain circles that was touted, but I think it needs that the microphone needs to be there. That what do you do? I'm in construction. But in doing so, we have to be honest about our blemishes. And this is one of them. So it's super powerful and does align with where we're headed. Yeah. I think that was, I know from that talk on stage and from then sitting down an episode with Fred, that part of his reasoning for coming and talking about it was because he's built such a big platform about our industry that I don't think he would look at his legacy in this industry with as much pride if he didn't take this step to leverage that as well.
Yeah.
On the B1M and you know, taking the powerful people of the B1M, the powerful people of Procore to create the awareness around it's awesome.
Yeah, and I would say just to tag on to that, I mean, Tui's a incredible leader, incredibly intelligent man, but really humble. And one of his way of operating is through a little bit of self-deprecation. And he's talked about that as a leader before around, you know, kind of the self-deprecation is a way to kind of combat a lot of some of the anxiety and the pressure that comes with leadership is putting himself in that position. And I really respect the fact that in showing up for this campaign, he has done it truly authentically as who he is as a leader, which I hope role models for other leaders, removing the expectation for them to have all the answers, but reinforcing the expectation of start with making a commitment. What are you going to do? How are you going to get involved? How are you supporting your own safety leaders in these initiatives? And how are you partnering with these nonprofits to incorporate it into your business? It all then creates a trickle down, a true, maybe a trickle up, down, I'm not sure, but it creates a trickle effect, which then starts to call to front and center the culture of your business. And when you do create those spaces of safety for individuals to have deeper conversations, what part, how is the business supporting that? And how is the culture of your business not only enabling that to happen, but not working against you and really having an impact by the culture subverting some of these efforts? So I do see it kind of, it all does start with that leadership commitment, but really, I think that's one of the things I've admired most about how Tui has stepped into this space.
Well, yeah, and it's truly important. Some folks believe that, you know, those leaders are leaders and they don't need that. And they do. They need brave people to lean in so that they know they can lean in. So if you're listening in and you are a leader out there, lean in, make a commitment, but no, you don't have to have the answers. And there are so many people out there creating real resources for you that you can get access to them, but lean in. And I would say it's a flow of information, right? It has to be from the bottom to the top and back and forth. And we need to be okay having these conversations. We need to be okay out here in this space. And that's the important part of creating this. So there's some things that you want people to be taking away and taking to action, not just, and the financial is awesome and we need people to get there and donate. So stop by and donate, but also you've got some calls to action, some things you want to see those people doing.
Yeah, there's a couple things. We want to make sure that people are aligned to some resources. So just to call out, a lot of this conversation will end up kind of falling in the wheelhouse of a lot of safety programs and safety leaders. So we want to make sure that safety leaders are equipped. So procore.com/health safety is where you can find more resources that we're providing. The constructiontalking.org is another place where we hope that people will go and be able to not only watch the content, but connect with some of these nonprofits and really look at what are their safety programs? How are their safety leaders incorporating this into their programs? And what support do they need? And how can your partnership with the some of these nonprofits bolster that work they're doing and provide some additional support for them there? And I think find the last piece is really each individual taking a personal commitment to start a conversation, to be able to kind of take away from the conference and take away from the event a new mindset of this week I'm going to do some check-ins and making this a little bit more of the norm. I mean, Jeff, you and I have been, you know, cohorts in talking about industry transformation for a long time. And to be fair, a lot of this has been on technology because it's what we know really well. But imagine that this campaign really getting internalized by every individual at the conference and every individual who's an earshot or a vantage point of seeing this initiative, making a personal commitment to check in with somebody once a week. That alone could create such a seismic shift in how we operate with each other that there's no place else for this to have an impact except for transformation. And I very much believe this is a missing link that's been missing, whether we're talking about buy-in for technology, we're talking about building buy-in with teams, we're talking about creating spaces where people are engaged, involved. This step alone of just having a conversation and doing a check-in with somebody really has the legs to have a seismic change in how we interact. And so I think that's what we're most excited about, is really just to get construction talking and empower this industry to interact in a different way that has a material sizable impact.
Yeah, you really said it really well. And that's that we want of the 4,000 plus people there to take that back and talk to one or two more people. This becomes exponential and it has an opportunity to grow. I like the old analogy, you know, a wave starts as a ripple.
Yes.
And he more than threw a pebble in the still water last year with Fred having his own conversation, but you know, maybe a little bit more of a big stone, but the ripple has started and the wave is coming, and it's hopefully washes over the industry and really starts to help pull us and push us in the right direction towards making the difference. Cause this is one of the best industries to be a part of, to support, to be on the side of, to cover. And I think we all want to see it reach that potential. And we want everyone that's listening in an earshot to know you got resources, you have friends, you have people. I like to say it's the industry that keeps me here. I would say it's the people in this industry that keep me here, that keep me motivated, inspired, and pushing. So, and if you're listening in and you didn't get a chance to go to Groundbreak, that's the other great part about this platform that we have here in front of us. We're creating that ripple as well. So check in with somebody. Have a conversation, pause and listen. A minute or two out of your day can impact the rest of somebody's life. And I know that that's heavy, but it could also be light. It can be uplifting. You could be the one who answers it. Maybe next time, instead of answering, "I'm good," and moving on, maybe be a little honest. Maybe, I think I said this in a CPC event one time, maybe take the mask off and let them know what's behind there. And let them know that it's not all good here today. But that doesn't mean that you're any different or any less. Actually, I think it means you're more. And let's change that stigma for construction, that and for every industry, technology as well, that you're good and that you can persevere through anything, and your grit, that's not your measurement. You know, your grit to get hard things done at times, yes, that's your measurement, right? Because we do hard things, right? You build hard things. But your power is in letting some of what's behind there be seen, be heard, and understood, and then you get better. So that's my thoughts for today. Sasha, any last words for folks listening in?
I do. I also want to be cognizant that there may be somebody listening to us who is struggling right now and who doesn't have that person on the other side asking them how they're doing. If you are, I encourage you to dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. It can really be impactful. And there's someone here to listen to you and someone here to help. So I want to encourage anyone who may be struggling to reach out, not to sit and suffer in silence and to hide, but to reach out. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that 988 is a good one, because that's always there. And we've always been a big supporter. If you are listening and you need some help, 988 is there for you. And if you're a leader in the industry and you have someone who needs help, go to preventconstructionsuicide.com for resources. They're there. The CIASP has created some incredible resources that are there for you.
Absolutely.
Please take advantage of that. Please go out there and don't suffer in silence, and don't be afraid to share. I think you've had this experience along the way, Sasha, as we open doors, we hear more and more stories that I think keep us going.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that this is a timely conversation, and that there's many individuals who are finding themselves in a difficult set of circumstances that makes navigating and negotiating life, work, career, family, everything that's encompassing of that a little more challenging. And so it's a timely conversation. Jeff, thank you so much for having us here today. We're really proud to lean in and support the B1M and this initiative. And I appreciate you as always.
I appreciate you. If anybody listening in wants to check out some of these great companies, check out theb1m.com, check out procore.com, procore.org, and the focus of the show, check out getconstructiontalking.org. Watch the documentaries that are out, get involved. And, if you heard anything on here that you liked, give us a shout, and we're excited to have you. Thank you for tuning in today for a Pause for the Cause episode with Sasha Reed. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to the show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is the Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.